We about to party. Unrestricted. Got the house now. We gon' turn it up, up. Bring the house down. Got that bass space pumping. Make them bounce now. Blousing like they bossing. And the freaks are coming out now.
This is AEW Unrestricted, the official podcast of All Elite Wrestling. I'm Will Washington. She is Aubrey Edwards. How are you, Aubrey?
Hello. I'm very tired, but I'm so excited. It's one of those like, oh my God, how I'm so exhausted. But it's a pay-per-view week. Wake the hell up.
It is a pay-per-view week. We're talking about AEW Dynasty, which is live on pay-per-view this Sunday, April 21st from St. Louis, Missouri. It's a place that's been owed a pay-per-view for a very long time, and we're talking about all things AEW Dynasty on this show, including the card. We've got some exciting matches, including the TBS Championship match.
Yes!
Which we'll see the TBS champion, Julia Hart, defending the title against our first guest here on the show, the one and only Willow Nightingale. Willow, thanks for being here on AEW Unrestricted.
Yay. Thanks for having me.
Oh my God, I'm so stoked you're here. I'm just, it's like anytime Willow enters the room, it's like everything becomes brighter and happier. You could be having the worst day.
I really appreciate that.
On top of that, she could be having the worst day, and it's still like, it's okay, guys. It's going to be great. But, like, not in, like, an overbearing, like, it's always authentic.
Like, the world's a really hard place for everybody.
Thank you.
I feel like if there's anything I could do to help stop the spread of, like, despair and negativity, I will do that. I will try my hardest.
Well, good. You know, it's funny, too, because I think one of the things that's going to stop a lot of people's despair would be the possibility of you becoming TBS champion. How are you feeling going into this Sunday?
I mean, personally, I'm someone who gets nervous for, like, every single match. But this one in particular, I feel like, obviously, the stakes are a lot higher. I'd be wrestling Julia Hart, who's someone that I've never beaten before. So there is always this like question of like, can I pull it out this time? Like, can I do it? What's going to make this time different? But really what it comes down to is like, I am much more confident. I have much more faith in myself and my abilities. And when it comes down to it, I have to go out there and trust everything I've done and just let it all happen as it's supposed to, you know?
Well, one of the things that's changed since the last time you've wrestled Julia Hart is that all of a sudden you've got yourself a little bit of a clique behind you. You've got Chris Statlander, you've got Stokely Hathaway, and it really feels like a lot of things are gelling in a way that they hadn't previously for you before. As a matter of fact, if I'm thinking about it, you haven't been pinned since the last time you faced Julia Hart.
Damn.
You have been on quite a roll this year.
Damn.
All right.
Well, I definitely think that, like, hearing those words spoken out loud to me is, again, like, a big confidence boost that I need going into this. But also, you're right, bringing up, like, Stokely and Chris, because not only are there people who have really supported me in the past couple months, but, like, Chris is somebody that I've been friends with for years at this point, who's seen, like, my growth throughout wrestling, and I've seen her growth throughout wrestling. So to now have to be on this like same stage together and be able to see like where she's gone, how I've gotten here, and how we're all just like rooting for each other now. So I'm glad she's there. And Stokely, of course, somebody I wasn't super originally like super hot on. Didn't originally love him being a part
of the group. Speak for all of us.
You know, but he really has done what he can to like advocate for us. You know what I mean? Like, we've been really active on television. We've been, you know, highlighted as a great dynamic group. So I can't take that away from him. And, like, obviously we've had some miscommunications in the past, but I know that, like, at his core, my best interest is at his heart. And so I'm happy to have them at my side on Sunday. Yeah.
I'm happy to see you in this match because I feel like ever since you first showed up at AEW as an extra talent and then eventually getting signed and having these matches like the street fight with Ruby and Ty and Anna Jay, and like all of this growth that we've seen from you on TV has been absolutely incredible. And seeing you and Stat kind of come from the same area of the indies and seeing you grow together has been really great. kind of on the topic of Statlander and Stokely, like, what have you learned from being a part of, I don't know, their clique? I liked the word that Will used, from their clique that is going to help you in this match against Julia?
That's a great question, because I think at the end of the day, like, my morals and my values and who I am as a person is unchanged. Like, we had a few instances where, like, Stokely inadvertently kind of was involved in a match that I
see that guy trying to get into the ring. I see him.
I didn't want him to do that. So I think, like, I have, you know, changed them as much as they've helped change me, kind of, like, instill a little bit of, like, okay, guys, we have a certain way that we go about wrestling our matches. Like, we're not trying to cheat or be dishonest. So I've affected them in that way. But again, it really comes back to the confidence with how they've helped me. Because every time that I've been like, oh, I don't know that I could do this, or like, I don't know, and any kind of like doubtfulness, like, Stokely has been like, do you know who you are? You're the first ever New Japan Strong Women's Champion. You are last year's Owen Hart Cup winner. Like, he's constantly reminding me, like, do you know? Do you know? And Statlander has obviously been there as a cheerleader as well. And it's always good when you're, like, doing a tag match. Like, obviously this weekend's not going to be a tag match. But to physically be in the ring and look over and see somebody that you can trust and depend on, like, that's a really great feeling. That is, like, amazing. So those two have really affected me, like, in that aspect.
Well, I wanted to ask you two more kind of very important questions, because talking about tagging with Chris Statlander, the last time you were in the ring with Julia Hart was a street fight in which you and Chris weren't exactly all that successful in. As a matter of fact, we saw Julia and Sky take the victory there. Again, it has really felt like, and I hate to say this as your friend, but it has really sounded like Julia Hart has very much had your number pretty much since the first time you guys faced off. Now, talking about that street fight, do you feel like there's anything you picked up in that particular moment that you'll be able to bring to the match this Sunday?
I think I have a mean streak that people maybe don't necessarily pick up on that right off of face value. But I think with as much of me believing that, like, trying to make somebody's day better, like, we talk about me walking a room being like a ray of sunshine or whatever, like, that is very much like, okay, I will do all I can to, like, leave people in a better mood than I found them or whatever. I also truly believe that, like, at the core of human nature is aggression and violence. And that's just a part of, as much part of me as the other bit. And I think those two hand in hand together is really what makes Willow Nightingale who she is. And after being through three street fights, and I think this most recent one with Statlander, Julia Sky, and myself, the most recent one really being perhaps the most violent out of all of them. Like, oh, yeah. I've learned a lot about myself in loss as much as, you know, I have in winning. So, Julia, this is only your first street fight. I know what I'm capable of. And as much as this, like, allure and mystique and, like, presence as Julia has, like, I've learned so much about myself in ring in terms of, like, confidence we've touched on, violence and aggression we've touched on. And I think, like, the missing piece that I really need is, I know I can be a champion. I know I'm somebody who could lead the pack and be at the top of our roster. I know that. I know that for a fact. And so all of these things going into Dynasty make me a very, very formidable opponent. And I know that, but does Julia know that is the question.
Well, that brings me to the final question. We recently learned that at Double or Nothing, somebody challenging for the TBS championship is the CEO, Mercedes Moné, somebody you are also very familiar with, although not entirely. You guys have only had the one match with each other, but it seems to be enough to really be dominating the conversation pretty much since Mercedes has come into AEW. She staked her claim back in Worcester, where she announced that she would be challenging at Double or Nothing challenging the TBS champion. So it's like, even with this match coming up on Sunday, we already know that the work doesn't end for either you or Julia, because we know that that challenge is on the way. Again, talk to me a little bit about that looming challenge of Mercedes Moné.
I mean, when you think about both of these competitors, like, personally, to me, I feel very wrapped up in both of them. Julia is someone I've been tied up with probably since, like, September.
6 months.
Of last year. Yeah. You know, she misted me. And that also is something that I think really changed me. Again, hopefully for the better. That's something that I look at as, like, even though it was an obstacle to get through at one point, I came out on the other side more aware of who I am as a person and a performer. And so that's, like, been kind of eating at me in terms of, like, the Julia sense. But my story with Mercedes goes even further than that. We look at May last year when I wrestled her, and there's a lot of, like, question in the air of whether, I guess, people even find me to be worthy of being the first ever New Japan Strong Women's Champ, because she did end up getting injured in that match. So I think there would be a really, if we were to face each other at Double or Nothing, there would be a really, like, gratifying moment of being like, okay, whatever you have to say, whatever doubts you might have about my abilities, like, this will be the chance that we could really put it to the test, and we'll really see. So there is that piece of me that's like, of course I want to be champion, but also I want to be put in that position to put myself against her, because I do think she is, like, one of the best, if not the best, that we have in wrestling. But also, what better way to tell all the other girls in the locker room, like, hey, I'm the one not to mess with, I'm her, than to be Mercedes' first opponent? You know what I mean?
Mm.
So none of this is things that I'm taking lightly. And I hope I can, you know, back up everything that I'm saying. I hope that everything that has brought me to this moment will all be worth it. And only time can tell.
Hell yes. Oh my God. I love that we got a chance to talk with you, because, like, I was already excited to go into the pay-per-view, and then now there's this, like, air of positivity. And,
hell yeah.
But also violence. It's important to note, also violence.
You know, I did become a wrestler at the end of the day. So
That's true. It's like, you're kind and you're nice and you smile, but you do punch people. So, and that pounce is nothing to mess with. I've seen it up close. It's
wild. I was
going to
say, you've probably seen it closer than most people. Yes.
Yes, I've almost gotten the way a couple times. It's terrifying. I've seen my life flash before my eyes. It's great.
And as we found out on Wednesday this week, you can get rated R.
Yes.
True. Very true.
Very, very true. Thank you again, Willow, for coming. You can watch this girl take on Julia Hart for the TBS Championship this weekend. AEW Dynasty in St. Louis, traditional pay-per-view, pay-per-view.com, YouTube. It's going to be one hell of a fight. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for being here today, Willow.
Thanks for having me, guys.
But, you know, here on Dynasty, one of the first matches that was made for the card, and honestly, it's one of the most anticipated matches possibly of the entire year, is going to be the Aerial Assassin, Will Ospreay, going one-on-one with the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson. You know, we talk about the word dream match a lot. We say that all the time, but I feel like this is a genuine, full-on dream match. Bryan Danielson and Will Ospreay, two guys who are highly considered to be two of the best in the world, two of the best at their craft, two of the best at what they do. And there are multiple instances where I think, even before Will Ospreay was signed, that we wanted to see this match. There was multiple times where it was like, okay, going into All In. I remember there was a lot of us discussing, hey, you know, could we possibly see Bryan Danielson versus Will Ospreay? And then Bryan Danielson, of course, got injured before All In. Wasn't exactly doable. But there were so many different ideas being tossed around. And just thinking about how now, finally, we are at the point where we get to see this match. Bryan Danielson, Will Ospreay, one-on-one. Aubrey, how are you feeling?
I remember when this match was announced and I just saw the graphic and immediately went, this alone is worth the pay-per-view. And obviously, this whole card is stacked. We've already talked about, you know, Willow and Julia. We've got more guests coming up, and we won't even have the time to talk about everything on this podcast. But this match is honestly the one that is, I think, the I want to say it's the one that everyone's going to remember, but like, that's not true. Dynasty is such a great card. This is the one that I know I will remember. Like, you and I have talked at length about how Bryan Danielson is our favorite wrestler. And knowing that he's on sort of his last full-time year in wrestling and seeing all of the people he's been facing, like, I was surprised to hear that he was facing Ospreay, but honestly, I wasn't, because like, this was inevitable. Of course, Tony Khan is going to give us this amazing gift, like just Christmas in the middle of April, if you will. But this is going to be so great. We've seen, even before he was a part of AEW full-time, we've seen Will Ospreay give us incredible matches. He's beaten Kenny Omega. He's beaten Chris Jericho. He is 100% capable of beating Bryan Danielson. Will he be Bryan Danielson, though? That's the question, because this match could go either way. Both of these guys are in contention for one of the greatest of all time. I have no idea what's going to happen, but I know I'm going to witness greatness.
Absolutely. And I think that, again, you talked about the idea that neither of us really know what's going to happen. It's hard to predict how this match could possibly go, because...
Like, just give him 60 minutes and let's go the time so we get everything out of it. Like, that's what I want.
Like, both these guys are on such a trajectory right now, with Bryan Danielson, with this being his final year. He's got so much to prove in this last year that this isn't a loss that he could be willing to take at this moment in time. But at the same time, Will Ospreay, just coming into AEW, is also on such a roll. And I think he's ready to see himself ascend to the top. And he's not going to let any roadblock stand in his way, whether it's somebody like Claudio Castagnoli this past week, or whether it's Bryan Danielson. Nobody's going to stand in Will Ospreay's way. And so it's literally the unstoppable force versus the immovable object, one-on-one. And I can't wait to see this match.
I'm so stoked. If I get to ref it, great. If I get to watch it, even better. Like, I'm so looking forward to seeing this in St. Louis. People in St. Louis are going to be in for just an absolutely incredible match and an incredible pay-per-view. We've got so much this weekend, St. Louis, AEW Dynasty. It's going to be a great pay-per-view. If you can't be there, like, it's selling like hotcakes. So make sure you get your tickets, AEWtix.com. If you can't be there, you can watch it lots of different places. Traditional pay-per-view, pay-per-view.com. You can watch it on Triller. You can watch it YouTube. There's so many different places. You cannot miss this pay-per-view. It's going to be incredible. We have some more guests coming up here on AEW Unrestricted. We've got the man challenging for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship, Swerve Strickland, coming on a little bit later. But coming up, I think we have a message from a special guest. So tune in and see what's going to happen.
Ah, St. Louis. Meet me in St. Louis. Well, fun fact about St. Louis, I actually lost my virginity there, and I will not tell you which one. Nonetheless, Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa, what a strange long journey it's been. I remember the day I met Thunder Rosa. He was like, "Hello, man." And I finished my 50th squat, and I said, "Hello." I thought, what a strange woman. I remember what she was wearing. She was wearing shoes, slacks, shirt. And I said, piss off, get out of my way, young woman. I am busy, I have business to attend to. Well, you know, she got an attitude. She copped an attitude. We haven't spoken since. She's had a problem with me ever since. Oh, yes. At one point, we were a very unsuccessful tag team. But that's another story for later. Well, all I can say is, she's come a long way, Thunder Rosa. She's come a long way. Unfortunately, in the wrong direction. But nonetheless, I'm thrilled to go to Dynasty and tussle with her once again. Yes. Although this time, she may not be so lucky. I cannot wait to tap dance up and down that silly little weak spine of hers. Oh, it's going to be one of my best dance numbers yet. I could go on all night about it. I could go on all night about what I'm going to do to her. That face paint? First thing off the list. I was doing her a favor when I wiped it off the first time. God, what a strange, sick, stupid woman. Yes, she really is bothersome. She really does. She really chaps my arms, I must say. I would rather shit in my hands and clap than ever exchange pleasantries ever again. Anyway, ta-ta, darlings. I will see you at Dynasty. Meet me in St. Louis.
Toni Storm, everybody. And of course, she is the AEW Women's World Champion, and she'll be defending the title against Thunder Rosa. We've also got a major trios match coming up. We've got Adam Copeland teaming with Eddie Kingston and the ROH World Champion.
Yes,
Mark Briscoe, to take on the three members of the House of Black. The House of Black have, of course, been targeting Adam Copeland. The House of Black currently possesses the TBS championship, as we talked about earlier with Julia Hart. And I think the TNT championship appears to be something that they want to add to the fold and hold all of our TV network championships. That'd be very interesting to see.
Just
in
be the house of the networks.
Yeah, just the house of the networks. But before they can get their hands on the TNT champion, they've got this trios match here, which could have huge implications here. It's a very interesting team, Adam Copeland and Eddie Kingston and Mark Briscoe. A team that, again, if you had said to me like 3 years ago, if you had just named these guys, I'd be like, yeah, they're in three different promotions. What are you talking about?
You're crazy. Why would they ever be together? That doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. But all of a sudden now they're here, they're together. You know, we talked a little bit last week on Dynamite about the fact that Eddie Kingston and Mark Briscoe just faced each other at Supercard of Honor for the Ring of Honor World Championship. We saw the two of them sharing a beer afterward, and it's clear that, you know, it seems, at least on the surface, water under the bridge. But you have to wonder how these guys can coexist, knowing that, you know, Eddie Kingston was draped in gold just a month ago, and all of a sudden now he's not. And one of his pieces of gold is sitting with his partner. And is that going to play a factor into being able to team up against the House of Black?
I hope it's not, because honestly, if I look at these three guys, their styles are so drastically different. Like Eddie Kingston, Mark Briscoe, Adam Copeland, when you see each of them individually in singles matches, you kind of know what you're getting. But to combine all three of them, like, I'm just thinking in my head, like, what does their like joint offense look like? What's a double team move look like? I'm so excited about the possibilities. So I hope that there's no animosity between Eddie Kingston and Mark Briscoe, just for like my own personal sake. And also, how can anyone be mad at Mark Briscoe? He's like the happiest guy in the world next to Willow Nightingale. Yeah.
Which, like, was great to see the four of them on screen last week, by the way.
Oh, that, my God. It's so wonderful. Like, all of them together. We were blessed. It was great.
I will say, by the way, again, a peel back the curtain kind of moment, because as guy who worked on that segment, I do have to say that the one thing that pops me the most is that when Stokely dropped that line about Adam Copeland versus Willow Nightingale, nobody knew he was going to. I knew he was going to do that. Nobody else knew he was going to do that.
The reactions were priceless.
Yeah, and I was watching Renee's face, and when I watched Renee's like start to chuckle at that, it got me, because I was genuinely worried. I was like, everybody's going to bust out laughing. This segment's going to be ruined.
I think everyone's thinking about the possibility of like, actually, it'd be pretty dope.
Yeah, so it was great. But either way, so again, that is a team that I am excited to see together, and that's a team that I think is. If anybody can stand up against the House of Black, you know, Eddie Kingston has had a lot of experience with the House of Black before. This is not his first go around with the House of Black. Him and Ortiz were up against the House of Black just a couple years ago. We also have Mark Briscoe has been tearing it up with the House of Black for quite some time. Julia Hart famously spiked him just a few months ago. And then, but honestly, it's Adam Copeland who is the biggest stranger to the group, but also they've been targeting him so much that I feel like he's in a position to be prepared for the group. And so thinking about all of these combinations, I feel like this match really could go genuinely either direction.
It really could. I'm so excited to see it. It's so great. Like, I'm a broken record on these pay-per-view previews where I'm just like, I'm so excited to see this match. But this card is stacked top to bottom. It's going to be fantastic. Tune in. Pay-per-view.com. YouTube, traditional pay-per-view, Triller. We're still talking matches. And I mean, talking about matches we want to see. Let's talk about Okada and Pac. Like,
Well, we were just talking about Brian Danielson and Will Ospreay as a potential dream match, a match that, you know, again, on paper, you never thought you were going to see. But talking about Kazuchika Okada and Pac, one-on-one for the Continental Championship, again, a match that didn't even seem possible a month ago. It's weird to think about the fact that, like, Okada only showed up right after Revolution. And here he is, a part of All Elite Wrestling, and we also we announced at Revolution the return of Pac, and these two are now on a collision course for the Continental Championship. Again, we're talking about two of the best wrestlers in the entire world, two guys who are masters at their craft, two guys who are incredibly different at their craft, and knowing that these two are going to be sharing the ring together, again, it's a massive dream match scenario. It's one of those, my God, this really could only happen in AEW kind of things. And knowing that Pac and Okada are going to go one-on-one, this just feels like Christmas.
I think the one thing that upsets me, though, is that Okada is aligned with the Elite. That we've seen Okada as this wonderful person, but he's kind of just this, he's associates with assholes. And I just, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I get PTSD watching these segments, man.
I don't know. Honestly, I am a big fan of the new Elite. I think that they are doing some incredible work.
Some of the best heel work in all of wrestling, to be perfectly honest. If you ever worked a 9-to-5, it's just like, oh my God, I've worked for this guy before.
I am genuinely a fan of the new Elite. And I think Okada and Matthew and Nicholas Jackson have been an excellent fit together. And they've proven it by already securing the Continental Championship. But again, Pac, no stranger to gold here in AEW.
Nope.
Pac was, of course, the first ever international champion at the time known as the All-Atlantic Championship. And Pac was also a former Trios champion. And he's one of those guys who, like, when the Trios titles were first made, like, everybody thought, oh, Death Triangle, duh. Mm-hmm. It was like, that's who those belts are made for. Yeah. And so thinking about now, it would be perfectly appropriate for him to walk away with the Continental Championship. But at the same time, I don't think Okada came here to let his reign get cut short.
No, it's a match that could go, honestly, either way. But we're going to be presented with greatness when we watch it. Pac is just, like, undeniable in what he's capable of doing. And it's one of those things where he's been out long enough that when he comes back, it's like we get to be reminded about how amazing he is. And just, like, the incredible things that, like, he's a specimen, and the things that he can do with his body are just insane. But you have a guy that throws the craziest lariat in all of wrestling. So, like, this is just going to be so great. I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Well, on the other side of things, talking about the International Championship, that aforementioned belt that Pac first held, we've got the International Championship on the line. Roderick Strong, our current International Champion, in a match that, you know, again, felt like one of those ones that, for different reasons, never felt like it could happen. Really,
right?
Just because Kyle O'Reilly has been on the shelf for nearly 2 years. And mm-hmm. Here he is back in AEW. When he first showed up back at Revolution, it felt like kind of a given. Oh, duh, he'll be back with the Undisputed Elite. Those are his boys. Not the Undisputed Elite, excuse me, the Undisputed Kingdom.
There you go.
He was last seen as a member of the Undisputed Elite.
Yes.
But those are his boys. We know where his allegiances lie. But it wasn't that simple. And then we saw this past week on Battle of the Belts that the line in the sand has been drawn. And he is now really for the first time opposing these guys. And here we have Roderick Strong versus Kyle O'Reilly for the International Championship. A lot at stake here. Not just the title, but we've seen a friendship torn apart. We've seen guys who have been aligned with each other for many, many, many years through different promotions. I'm rooting for Kyle here. I want to see Kyle. You know, I've wanted to see him back for so long, and knowing that he's back in the ring now, knowing everything he's fought, knowing everything he's fought through, and knowing that he gets to relive his dream one more time, I think the best way to cap that off would be to see him become the AEW International Champion.
I loved seeing him come back at Revolution, seeing Kyle come back and seeing him in the ring as he's about to, like, you know, come in behind Undisputed Kingdom and you don't know what he's going to do. But the response from the crowd was so overwhelming that, like, Kyle couldn't help but smile. And I think all of us kind of appreciate what we're seeing. I think the only one who appreciates it more than us is Kyle O'Reilly, because it cannot be understated. There was a massive chance he was never going to come back to wrestling.
Like, massive chance.
To see the amount of work that someone has put in, which is why kind of going into this match, I think we're rooting for Kyle because we've seen him come back from this crazy adversity. People haven't seen it on screen, but I mean, the guy was rehabbing an insane injury. And then now to be facing someone he has so much history with, like, there's the emotional struggle of coming back, but then there's the emotional struggle of who does this person mean to you? Like, the amount of time that you've spent on television together, regardless of the promotion, the amount of time, like, these are guys that probably share pictures of their kids together at one point or another. So there's a lot of emotion behind this match that I think is kind of understated beyond just the title match itself. And for that reason, I'm really excited for this.
Very excited for this. I am very excited for AEW Dynasty. It is in St. Louis, Missouri. You can still get your tickets, AEWTIX.com. As I mentioned earlier in the show, we owed you guys a pay-per-view. You're getting it, and you're getting it in the best way possible, AEW Dynasty. And it's available on traditional pay-per-view, pay-per-view.com, YouTube.com, Triller. Any way you want to watch this show, you've got so many options. You have more options than you've ever had to watch an AEW pay-per-view, and you get to watch it. And notice when we said Triller, we didn't use the word internationally afterward. You usually did. This is the first time domestically you get to watch this show on Triller live in the United States. Wherever you are, you can watch it. Make sure to order AEW Dynasty. We've got a lot more to talk about here on AEW Unrestricted. We still have a couple of world title matches to talk about. And we've got a guest here who will be the challenger in the AEW World Championship match. That's all coming up here when AEW Unrestricted continues. AEW Unrestricted, we're talking AEW Dynasty. I'm still Will Washington, she's still Aubrey Edwards, but we've got a special guest coming in right now, because talking about all things AEW Dynasty, we can't be talking about this show without discussing the main event, the AEW World Championship match. Samoa Joe, the AEW World Champion, defending the title against our guest right now. He is the man who defeated Konosuke Takeshita to become the number one contender for the AEW World Championship. He is Swerve Strickland. Swerve, thank you for being here on AEW Unrestricted.
What's going on, man? This is like my first, second time here on this.
First time since I've been the host. Yeah. Because, you did the interview with Aubrey and Tony Schiavone last time. But first time since I've been a host. Like the 10th time you and I have done a podcast together across all the podcasts I've done over time. But this is also the first time having you on as the challenger for the AEW World Championship. We had Samoa Joe on the show right before Revolution to discuss the three-way between you, Hangman Adam Page, and Samoa Joe. And he had a lot of choice words for you. But this time around, we've got the challenger here. This is now your second opportunity at the AEW World Championship. I want to start with the biggest question. What separates this from the last time you challenged for the title?
It's one-on-one. It's the actual headlining main event, which is brings a lot of pressure within itself. You know,
big pressure, even.
Made history last time because I believe I'm the first African-American to go for the world title on pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. So now I'm doing two pay-per-views in a row. So that's big in itself. And now being like the headliner for the show, for the pay-per-view, on top of the already stacked card with a lot of young talent, not a lot of new talent too. And what I keep seeing on social media is just the fact that like everybody's talking about all the people that we still don't have on the card that are out for various reasons, whether it be injury, whether it be just stepping away for a little bit, whether it's suspensions. We still have this type of roster to put on a great pay-per-view on its own, like especially not a traditional pay-per-view that we usually have. So that in itself, the situation around the match makes this all different. The fact that now you've seen the contact, you've seen the brutality between myself and Samoa Joe leading up to the pay-per-view match, that makes it different too. You know how we interact with each other already. Prior to before the triple threat, you didn't really know how myself and Samoa Joe were going to really interact in a match itself. You know, you've seen what me and Hangman Page can do, but a lot of those elements are taken out. You know, I don't have that distraction. I don't have another blood feud in the way of this. It's just me and Joe, man to man, a legend in his own right, and probably one of the most violent, like brutal world champions we've ever had, you know? And so that itself is a challenge, just facing Joe, just standing across the ring from Joe, verbally, physically, that's a challenge. So all this is just a challenge. And like last week, I showed that I was up for the challenge by doing what I did, like interfering like two times throughout the night, just like knowing that I'm not afraid of him. I know what he's capable of, but at the same time, I got to put in place that I know what he needs to know what I'm capable of as well. So does the rest of AEW.
I don't think anyone questions like what you're capable of after you literally signed a contract in your own blood, like dipping the pen on your head and then signing it. It's just absolutely no question at all. But we've also seen like you're a man that goes after what he wants. We've seen you break fingers. We've seen you break into houses. But, you know, we're funny enough, we're all still behind you. And I'm so excited to see like your growth. I even posted like on my Instagram like last week a picture of us at Defy 5 years ago. And to see you now headlining a pay-per-view, to see everything you've done as a performer, as an entrepreneur. Like, if you're watching the video version, you see all of the accolades. We've basically got a visual resume here. Wearing the Flash Garments shirt, shout out. But, you know, former tag champ, you've just done so much in your time at AEW so far. What would it mean to you to be the first African-American champion, world champion at AEW?
It means a lot. In this day and age, in the year of 2024, it's hard to accomplish something new. Mm-hmm. And being able to, like, industry-wide, no matter what, you know, box office records are being broken like every month now, it feels like, you know, across the industry. So it's just trying to find your place where you belong in the business and try to make a stamp on it, you know, own something. It's a little bit easier to just follow another path that somebody's already carved. It's a lot more challenging, a lot more risky, and it's a lot more damaging to try to create your own. And it's a lot of risk involved with that too. So like doing like Double XL and stuff, being featured in that on the freshman cover, that was risky, you know. Going for the tag team championships, that's a risk in itself. Then branching off away from tag team to go singles and try to build your own thing, you know, there's peaks and valleys to that kind of thing. Bringing in a Rick Ross, and you see what Rick Ross is doing now in the world, you know, that's a risk in itself. You know, all these things are risks that I was willing to take, and I have to put my name on it. You know, not everything was successful, and I'd be the first one to admit that, but I'm willing to take the risk because I'm willing to go after it and go get it. And you see a lot of people, what I learned is people are willing to work with you and do more for you and work with you if they know that you're willing to go out there and go after it and go get it.
Yes.
And that's what I learned across all these platforms. That's what made me who I am. That's what got me in the position that I am right now. What it means to me is just like being where the position I am is all that, all the risks, all the sacrifices, all the pain, heartache, all the doubt, like having to like take time away from my children to make sure I can like move forward to make sure that pays off later on, you know, miss a lot of like birthdays, miss a lot of weddings, miss a lot of funerals. You know, I lost my grandmother earlier this year and I wasn't able to be there for the funeral. So that was something that sticks in my mind all the time. So I, like pushing forward, it makes me want to pay that back. Like I didn't miss that for nothing. I didn't miss my daughter's birthdays for nothing. I didn't miss the Christmases and the Thanksgivings for nothing. So that's just on a personal note, on the outside of things, like on the industry wide, man, like, you know, I want, like, at the age that I'm at like the prime years, and a lot of people miss out or something unfortunate happens and that time is taken away. Like, shout out to Big E, you know, he's in his prime years and that like a misfortune was like taken away from him. And we didn't really truly get to see him blossom into the next level. And so this guy's like that I want to like push forward for. And, you know, like, regardless of company, that's a good friend of mine. You know, I want to push forward for guys like that. And I want to push forward for guys that didn't get the opportunity to get to the level I'm at. You know, I want to push forward for the people that were, like, unfortunate enough to, like, have just circumstances just taken away from them that were literally on the path to change the business for my culture and for my people and stuff. And, like, that's all the stuff that I think about that's weighing on my shoulders.
Well, and that brings up the question of course, you know, we saw you and Joe get physical in the contract signing. We've seen the two of you be physical last week on Dynamite following his contract, or following his title offense, I should say. It wasn't a title offense. It was an eliminator match. But
correct.
His eliminator match with Dustin, and we've seen you guys get physical this week. And we've seen, I don't want to say all we can see from you guys, because we still have seen, or yet to see, the match. And that's where, I guess, without revealing too much, I want to ask the question of what do you believe you have in store for Joe that he hasn't seen from you yet?
For me, like, there's a lot. There's a lot. I have a lot in the tank. There's never been anybody like me in this industry for a long time. And I'll say that, like, proudly and truly, truthfully. And I've been designed that way. And therefore, I'm not anything like anything Joe's ever seen either. And I'm one of the most unpredictable people. You don't know what I'm capable of. You don't know what I'm willing to take. There's a lot of, like, tape study that I have on Joe for 2 decades worth of it. I wonder how much he's has on me. You know, that's the advantages you have of being, like, unorthodox. That's the advantage you have of being unpredictable, and you kind of don't know which way I'm coming from and stuff. And as you can see from what we had this week, Joe still can't scout me the way he thinks he can. Those are my advantages. My military background has always been an advantage of mine. You know, like, never give up, never quit is my warrior ethos. And so, like, Joe's really seeing those layers peel back a little more with the contract signing. You know, beat me with a chain and bloodied me, and I still got up and I still signed a contract, because if I have to crawl through 100 yards of barbed wire to get to the world championship, that's what I have to do. A lot of people would just, I'll wait for the next contender to come through, get their opportunities, and go, I'll come around the other way, or I'll win a tournament to try to, like, find a way to weasel in. I'm like, nope, this is the path. This is the brutality. This is what I have to go through. All right, let's dig deep and pull him through. There's a lot of people that just, like, you know, kind of run from that grind. I don't. I never have, and I never will. I'm here for it, you know. And Joe is really realizing that week by week by week, that I'm not just going to lay down for him. And he's realizing week by week that I hit harder every time I come back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've seen it up close more often than not. So, curious, win or lose this weekend, what do you want people to take away when they are done watching Dynasty? Since you're main eventing, you're going to be the last thing they see on the TV. Win or lose, what's the thing you want people to remember about this pay-per-view?
I really can't think of the option of losing, because this is like one of those opportunities you may not ever get back. I lose this, I don't know when I'll get an opportunity. The talent influx is incredible in AEW right now. And the bar is getting higher and higher and higher to meet every week, every month, every pay-per-view. The industry is changing. And I will say, like, AEW 5 years ago and like a couple years after changed the industry so much that now the industry is starting to change. And now we have to adapt to the change that we're doing. I feel like I'm the adaptation to the change for All Elite Wrestling and pro wrestling in general. I really believe that. And I can't rest on anything. I can't look at the negative option. I can't look at the option of losing. You know, there's a lot of things I have around the corner that I'm prepping when you see me kind of a little quiet on social media, don't worry. It's not the fact that I have nothing to say.
You've always got something good. You've always got something good on the back burner.
I'm loading up. And you'll see it when it's time to see it. I don't want to add to more bandwidth that's being taken up on the internet if I don't have to. You'll see when it's ready to be seen. And that's kind of how I always operate. I'm real covert with a lot of that stuff. So just imagine me with a world championship now. Imagine me like as one of the industry leaders in the, you know, pro wrestling. Just imagine what that, the capabilities of that is, you know, and like Tony Khan's already like had me meet Roger Goodell on the field on Monday Night Football, you know, so that shows you the belief that even that man has in me, you know, my locker room mates and stuff are truly believers. They believe in me in every which way, you know, we got guys like Chris Jericho, like truly believe in me, trusting in me. A guy that's like Adam Copeland that's mentoring me for the last 2 to 3 years since I met him, truly believing in me. I have no option in failing. I can't fail with guys like that. Now I have to finish the job and do the work at Dynasty.
Well, Swerve Strickland, as we stated, is going to be challenging Samoa Joe, the AEW World Champion, the main event, AEW Dynasty. It is this Sunday. It's live, St. Louis. It's going to be available on pay-per-view.com, YouTube, Triller, traditional pay-per-view. Any way that you can watch AEW Dynasty, you need to peep AEW Dynasty. There's the man right there, Swerve Strickland, XXL.
There he is, man.
Make sure to catch this match. Make sure to catch this pay-per-view. Swerve Strickland, thank you for being here on AEW Unrestricted.
Thanks, brother. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you, guys.
But going from one world championship match to another, we have got, for the only the second time, really, this is the first time since its inception, we have vacant world tag team championships. And it could only be right that in a tournament to determine who would be the first ever three-time AEW tag team champions, it is the only two-time tag team champions, the Young Bucks, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, the EVPs, taking on FTR.
Oh, this is the beauty of tag team wrestling, right? We get to see guys that have literally changed tag team wrestling, but you cannot say tag team wrestling without having both of those teams that you said in reference, the Young Bucks and FTR, seeing everything they've done across multiple companies, across independents, across television. Both of these teams are absolutely incredible. And to see the resumes they're coming in with, both being two-time champs, and knowing that they could both be the first ever three-time champs, like, it's a match made in heaven. Even though it was a tournament, we saw it. I mean, I was kind of sitting there in the back like, okay, but really, like, here's what I actually want to see. like let's be real, guys.
And the part that I didn't mean to neglect to mention, but folks, this is a ladder match.
Oh my God, I completely forgot.
Yes, this is a ladder match. And this is a match that has traditionally been the Young Bucks specialty. We've seen them previously win the AEW. As a matter of fact, their last title win, actually, now that I'm thinking about this, now I'm saying it out loud, their last title win was not only in a ladder match, it was in St. Louis in this arena. And
you can't write this shit.
And so this is something that the Young Bucks are historically proficient at. We've seen them do this before. At the same time, FTR, right? Tag team specialists. There's not a tag team scenario that these guys aren't familiar with and that they're not up to the challenge of. Because we know and associate the Young Bucks so much with that type of scenario, the Young FTR are one of the most adaptable teams on earth. And that's, I would never count them out in any scenario. Both of these teams fully capable of walking out with the AEW World Tag Team Championships. But I think Matthew and Nicholas in particular have the biggest statement to make. Right now, these two teams have faced each other three times. And the score right now is 2-1. FTR is up. The Bucks feel like they have to even the score here. And I can't see any other way this match goes other than Matthew and Nicholas doing so. But at the same time, I've bet against FTR before and I have been way wrong. So therefore...
Right. It's one of those things like you see, like the Young Bucks lost it All In. And then they lost to Sting and Darby. Like, that is a massive chip on your shoulder to come into a match with. And I don't think that can be discredited, even though it is the Young Bucks. And even though every time they open their mouths and say the word synergy, I want to vomit. Like, it's one of those things, you know, they're going to put on an excellent match. It's going to be an incredible sight to see. And they're in there with arguably the greatest tag team of all time. I honestly have no idea which way this is going to go. But honestly, like, we're going to see history being made either way. That's the best thing about pay-per-views.
Yeah, and there's definite history being made. No matter what, somebody's going to walk out of this match. Three-time AEW World Tag Team Champions. That is something that cannot be taken away from this match. That is something that is so cool. And you'll get to see that at Dynasty in St. Louis. Be there, AEWTix.com. And if you can't be there, definitely check out pay-per-view.com, your traditional pay-per-view provider, YouTube or Triller. You can watch it all of those ways, domestically, internationally, however you watch your pay-per-views. Do not miss AEW Dynasty. It's the first ever AEW Dynasty. And we had to make sure that with this card, we were going to deliver. And I feel like we stacked this card like only AEW can. And I'm excited. I'm very, very excited for this.
I don't know how we keep topping ourselves at every single pay-per-view, but somehow it keeps happening. And I'm not complaining at all. As a wrestling fan, as an employee, as both, we all get to benefit from the greatness of an AEW pay-per-view. And for those that aren't watching it, you are missing out. You are doing yourself a disservice. So thank you so much for everyone who listened to AEW Unrestricted. This was a fantastic preview of this amazing card we have this weekend. You can listen to new episodes of Unrestricted every Thursday on all of your favorite podcast platforms. You got to Dynamite on Wednesdays, Rampage on Fridays, Collision on Saturdays. Watch the video version of this episode and see all of the amazing things that Swerve Strickland had to bring. New episodes every Monday on YouTube. I am Aubrey Edwards, my co-host and best friend, Will Washington. Thank you so much for listening to AEW Unrestricted.
Come on, throw your hands up, let me see you. Unrestricted, got the house now. We gon' turn it up, up, bring the house down. Got that bass, bass pumping, make them bounce now. Flossing like they bossing in the